we need to turn the heat up?
I think we're good.
Yeah. Yes? Okay. We can build a fire. All right, I'm going to ask some questions, and then council's going to ask some questions. And when I say council, I'm including Mr. Diggin. But these questions that the court and council will ask the members of the jury will be directed to these jurors that are in the jury box, and the six, of course, in front. And so... these jurors are the ones that need to raise their hand and answer the questions if they need to in response to a question. The jurors in the back of the courtroom, however, it is important that you listen to the questions, because if one of these jurors is excused for any reason, then one of the jurors in the back of the courtroom will be asked to take one of these jurors' places. And then what we normally do is ask that juror who replaces a juror, have you heard all the questions that the other members of the jury have been asked? And that's when you can, you know, say yes, or if you haven't, then you can say no. But what I'm getting at is this. The members in the back of the jury, listen to the questions. Don't answer them now, but if there's a question that you need to answer, keep that question in your mind. And then when we ask whether you would have had to have answered any of the questions, you can answer then. Now, if we have to answer or ask you all those questions again, we will, but I hope you can see how this method can save some time and effort on everybody's part. So, if you cannot hear the questions that the court and counsel ask the other members of the jury, let us know. And we'll either speak up or ask you to move someplace in the courtroom where you can hear better. So. A trial starts with the selection of a jury, and in order to seat a panel of qualified jurors, the law requires that prospective jurors be sworn and questioned concerning their qualifications. The questions which the court and counsel will ask may probe deeply into your attitudes, your beliefs, and your experiences. Such questioning does not constitute an unwarranted prying into your private affairs, but is required by the law to determine your basic qualifications and to assist counsel in the selection of the trial jurors. The purpose of the law is to obtain a fair and an impartial jury. Each side is entitled to jurors who approach this case with an open mind and agree to keep their minds open until a verdict is reached. The jury must be as free as humanly possible from bias, prejudice, or sympathy for either side, and free from any preconceived ideas on either the facts or the law. The questions will attempt to discover if you have any information concerning the case or any opinions which you cannot overlook, or if you've had personal experiences in your individual lives which might cause you to favor or disfavor either side. The questions may further be designed to ascertain your attitude towards social, religious, or moral issues. If you do not hear or understand a question from the court or counsel, you should say so. If you do understand the question, you should answer it freely and without hesitation. If you feel that your answer to a question might be embarrassing to you or someone else, let us know that you need to answer the question, but that you would prefer to do so privately. And then we will go back into chambers, and we will, you still have to answer the question, but you don't have to answer it here in open court in front of everyone else. Your cooperation in answering the questions accurately and completely is required by the oath that you have just taken and by the law pertaining to the selection of a jury. You should try to disclose any information fairly raised by the question, even though it may not be a specific answer to the specific question asked. Now, I'm going to ask a series of questions concerning individuals, and so I'm going to ask you to keep these individuals in mind as I go through a series of questions. And the individuals that I'm going to ask you to keep in mind are the individuals that I've already introduced to you. Trooper Williams with the West Virginia State Police, Mr. Rogers, the Assistant Prosecuting Attorney, Mr. Diggin, the defendant in this case, and counsel, Mr. Oshawa. Are any of you related by blood or marriage to any of those individuals? And again, if you need to answer any question, please raise your hand high enough and long enough. Are any of you an employee of any of those individuals? Are any of you an employer of any of those individuals? Are any of you a creditor of or indebted to any of those individuals? Are any of you engaged in business of any kind with any of those individuals? And these relationships that I've just listed, have any of those existed in the past with regard to any of those individuals?
Yes.
All right. See, Ms. White.
Yes.
Okay.
I had insurance, I'm thinking, with him. He said there were two other people, so I don't know.
Okay. The insurance policy that you were talking about in chambers with the defendant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And other than Ms. White, no one else, none of the other jurors raised their hand in regard to that question. I know that jury service is probably inconvenient to every one of you. But this question doesn't relate to the normal inconvenience of jury service, but I'm talking about something that's going to be going on, and this trial may last till Friday, so let's just think in our minds that this is going to last today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, okay? Is something going on in your life that's going to cause more than normal inconvenience, more than the normal jury service inconvenience, either today, tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday?
Hold on.
Mr. Lucas.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
If we had a trip scheduled, I didn't put it on the papers because I didn't know exactly when it was going to be, but I guess it's going to be that in March. So, it's not a necessity, but I had a fishing trip planned tomorrow through Saturday for review.
Tomorrow through Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. And you're going... Where's that?
That's what everybody says. No, Webster Springs.
Okay. But you're going fishing?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just stalked last week, so it's pretty important.
If you're a fisherman,
yes. Yes.
All right. Mr. McDougal.
On Saturday, spring break is beginning, so I've got a spring break trip planned for Saturday.
Okay.
Starting Saturday for the following week.
Okay.
But up to that point, I don't have a problem.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
We're scheduled count. I got midnights tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday night.
You have to tell me. I mean, I don't know whether you can function during the day if you're working midnight, or whether you get any relief from your job if you're on jury service.
I'll say 6:30 to 6:30 is when. 6:30 p.m., 6:30 a.m.,
right.
I don't know.
And do you get excused from your job if you're on jury service?
No direct answer. We've tried, you know, another guy back there worked same place, and we've tried, and we've not gotten an exact answer. So
you don't know whether you'll have to work during the night and then be on jury service during the day?
I'm going to find out about 6:30 when I go to work, if I make it out here.
Okay. Anyone else? Is it Affalter?
I work for a first word fire. I'm on duty today. Thursday, on a 24-hour shift.
Okay. They have other firemen there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'll get back in.
I'm sorry?
I said I'll get back in just as soon as I get off work there.
Okay. All right, Mr. Lucas, is it Shahan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and excuse both of you at this point. Appreciate you coming in, and we'll be in contact with you if and when we need your services again.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Madam Clerk, would you please call another juror to replace juror number 11?
Please come forward as I call your name. Kevin Tanner.
And Madam Clerk, would you please call another juror to replace juror number 12?
Please come forward. Joe Ellen Maston.
Okay. All right. A couple questions for Mr. Tanner and Ms. Maston. Have both of you been present here in open court with the other members of the jury this afternoon?
Yes.
And would either of you had to have answered any of the questions that I've asked so far? Okay. Mr. Tanner.
I'm the other guy. He said not to answer, so we got a
What
on the same ship.
Yeah, right, but what employer is it?
Comores. DuPont. Used to be DuPont's. Well, okay.
So you're on the same work 6:30 to 6:30 and you don't know whether you're gonna get any time off?
Yeah, I mean
okay. All right. We'll go ahead and excuse you then, and we appreciate you coming in. We'll be in contact with you if and when we need your services again. Madam Clerk, would you please call another juror to replace juror number 11?
Please come forward as I call your name. Ira York.
All right, Ms. York, have you been present during all the other proceedings with the other members of the jury here in open court?
Yes.
And would you have answered any of the questions that I've asked?
Yes.
Okay.
I, too, work midnights. I'm a nurse. There's only two on shift. So I work tonight, tomorrow night, and the following. I won't be able to be.
And do you get any time off because you're on jury duty during the day?
No.
Where do you work?
Hartford Care Center.
Is that like
a nursing home?
Okay. You're excused. Appreciate you coming in. We'll be in contact with you if and when we need your services again.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, please call another juror to replace juror number 11.
Harold Manor, Jr.
All right, Mr. Manor, have you been present with all the other members of the jury here in open court?
I have.
And have you heard all the other questions that I've asked the other members of the jury?
I am not working midnights.
Would you have had to answer any of the other questions?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, are any of you currently employed by any law enforcement agency? Have any of you in the past been employed by any law enforcement agency? Do you have any close friends or relatives? And I mean close not in terms of distance, but close in terms of, you know, talking with them and things like that. Do any of you have any close friends or relatives who are currently employed by any law enforcement agency? All right. Mr. Smith.
I have a few friends that work for Williamstown Police Department.
Okay. And how often do you see them?
Probably 5 days a week. I work for St. Joe's Ambulance Service there in Williamstown.
Okay, so you're I guess stationed in Williamstown?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, anybody else then besides the people there in Williamstown?
No.
All right. And Mr. Starkey?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a close friend of one of the West Virginia State Police, Bill Marshall.
Okay. Mr. McDougall.
I'm the manager of the Mid-Ohio Valley Regional Airport, and I have interaction with the Wood County Sheriff's Office on a daily basis.
To provide security up there?
That's correct.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Do any of you have any close friends or relatives who have in the past been employed by any law enforcement agency? Okay, Mr. Appalter?
Yeah. Wayne White.
Okay.
He worked for City Police.
All right.
He's right now in Parliament.
And do you know how long that person's not been employed by law enforcement?
It has been a while.
All right. So it wasn't just within the past year. And then, Mr. Manor, did you raise your right hand? Or
yes.
Raise your hand?
Yes. Okay. I have cousin and uncle through marriage who were both members of the state troopers.
Okay. That's West Virginia State Police?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have they not been employed there?
Both have been, well, one's retired probably 20 years and deceased, and the other was retired about 2 years ago.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Now, this question goes to Mr. Affalter, Mr. Manor, Mr. Starkey, Mr. Smith, and Mr. McDougal, the five that answered that question. The fact that you have the relationship that you've told us about, is that going to affect you in your ability to be fair and impartial in this case? Mr. Smith?
No, sir.
Mr. Starkey?
No.
Mr. McDougal?
No, it will not.
Mr. Affalter?
No.
And Mr. Manor?
No.
Now, I know you haven't heard too much about the facts of the case, but I mean, you know what the charge is. As a result of the charge, are any of you conscious or aware of any circumstance which might cause you embarrassment in being a juror in this case, or cause you any difficulty in being a juror in this case, or interfere in any way with your ability to be fair and impartial in this case? Do each of you think that you can be fair and impartial in this case? If you think that you can be, please raise your hand, and please raise your hand high enough and long enough till we see who has or has not raised their hand. If you think you can be fair and impartial. All right. Everybody except for Mr. Miller. Did you raise your hand, Mr. Miller?
No, but I'm uncertain based on things we talked about.
Okay. Well, why are you uncertain as to whether you... whether? I mean, I'm just curious. Why do you...
I mean, it depends on, you know, the things I guess we talked about, definitions and you know, whether or not this is a...
You have to speak up, sir. I can't hear you.
It depends on definitions and whether or not I think this is adjustable.
Okay. So, if you were given the definition of the law, the elements of what the state has to prove, would you apply those elements to the facts and base your verdict upon the facts and the law as given to you by the court?
It depends on if we're being asked to leave our conscience aside. In the sense that if I thought the law was an unjust law, I have extra difficulty in applying that to a case.
So, my question, sir, is would you apply the facts of the case as you determine them to be to the law that the court gives you? I need a yes or no answer. Okay. The jury determines the facts. The court determines the law. The jury takes the facts as they find it to the law that's given to them by the court. And they determine whether they believe, under the facts, that the state has established by proof beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant committed a crime that he's charged with. And so my question to you is, can you apply the facts as you find them to be to the law that the court gives you? I'm sorry, I cannot hear you.
I would have difficulty doing that based on what we discussed.
Okay. So I take that as a no, you would not apply the facts to the law?
Based on the reasons that I discussed, yes.
Okay. Well, sir, if you're not going to be able to apply the facts to the law, then you're not qualified to be a juror. So with that, you're excused. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call another juror to replace juror number 9.
Please come forward as I call your name. Shelley Leisure.
All right, Ms. Leisure, have you been able to hear all the, or were you here during all the proceedings with the other members of the jury here this afternoon?
Yes.
And were you able to hear all the questions that I asked the other members of the jury?
Yes.
Would you have had to have answered any of those?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a registered nurse, and I actually have to do a midnight shift on Thursday, so if the trial went into Friday, I wouldn't be able to sit at home.
Okay. Why not?
Well, I'd be up all night. I work in management, and we don't have coverage for that night, and I have to cover it. There's not another nurse to take my spot.
Where do you work?
I work for Willows Center. It's a skilled nursing facility.
All right. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call another juror to replace juror number 9.
Please come forward as I call your name. Philip Ferguson.
All right, Mr. Ferguson, have you been present during all the other proceedings with the other members of the jury here this afternoon?
Yes, sir.
And have you been able to hear all the questions that I asked the other members of the jury? Would you have had to have answered any of those questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers?
Good afternoon. My name is Sam Rogers. I'm an assistant prosecuting attorney here in Wood County. And I just have a few questions to ask you before we get started. First, outside of what we've already discussed, so if you've already discussed something with us in the back, outside of that, does anybody know or are you acquainted with the defendant, Thomas Deegan? Does anyone know or acquainted with defendant's standby counsel, John Oshawa? I'm going to ask if you know or are acquainted with anyone in my office. I'll list everyone in my office, all the attorneys, and if you know anyone, just raise your hand, please. Myself, Jason Wharton, Pat Lefebvre, Kirsten Lefebvre, Jody Boylan, Russ Skogstad, Megan Underwood, Emily Stamper, and Blair Hudson. Yes, sir.
I know Jason Wharton and Megan Underwood.
Okay.
Megan Underwood's husband works at the same bank I do. And Jason, I know through just social from the golf. Just social.
Okay, gotcha. So social with Miss Underwood's husband, do you work closely with him every day?
No.
Okay. So would you say the associations that you have with Miss Underwood and Jason, would those sway you in any way, or would you still be able to be impartial?
Yes.
Okay. Was there anybody else that knew anyone in my office? Yes, sir.
Jason.
Okay. You know Mr. Wharton, and how do you know him, if you don't mind?
I served with him on the Wood County Animal Control Commission.
Okay.
I believe it was 3 years ago.
And would that association with Mr. Wharton make you favor or disfavor the state in any way?
No.
Okay. Would you still be able to be fair and impartial, even though you know Mr. Wharton in that way?
Yes.
Okay. Was there anybody else? And most likely, maybe today, tomorrow, in the coming days, you'll hear from possibly a number of witnesses. And I'll name some of these witnesses off, and you can raise your hand if you know or associate with any of them. Trooper Kevin Williams, Dennis Mehal, Steve Stevens, Brenda Ball, Darlene Deegan, Phil Hudock, and Gene Statler, or Stoniker, sorry. Does anybody know any of those people? Does anyone in here work for or associated with an attorney or a private investigator? Has anyone here ever been a victim of a crime? Is there anybody on the panel that is acquainted with somebody who has been convicted of a felony or another crime? Is it something you're willing to talk about?
Sure. My brother had multiple felonies. Arson, several.
Gotcha. So he's had a little bit of contact with the law enforcement?
A lot of contact.
Okay. I know you said you had some good relationship. Well, you work with the police department. I know you said, does your brother's experiences, did they have any effect on you, good or bad, with the police?
No.
What his experience, did he have any, or I know he obviously did you have any experience through him with the prosecuting attorney's office?
No.
Okay.
This has been several years ago.
Oh, okay. So would his experience in any way sway you for or against the state or for or against the defense?
He deserved it. No.
Okay, gotcha. Was there anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
My son had a breaking and entering.
Okay. So he.
And it's been like over 10 years.
Gotcha. So he had some dealings with the police. Were you involved in any way?
Not just, I mean, I was there with him during questioning and support, but other than that, no.
Gotcha. If you don't mind me asking, did you have a good experience with the police while that was going on, or do you think he was felt treated fairly?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
What about the prosecuting attorney's office? Did you have any dealings with them?
No.
Okay. So overall, your son's experience, would that sway you for against the state or for against the defendant?
No.
Okay. Was there anyone else? Has anyone ever posted bond for somebody who's been charged with a crime? Your brother?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
My son.
Same situation. Yes, ma'am?
My son.
Your son as well? Gotcha. Okay, I'll start with you. That experience, did you have any experience with the police department or the prosecuting attorney? Did you think your son was treated fairly?
Yeah.
Okay. So that experience wouldn't sway you'd be fair and impartial?
Ma'am, you got to speak out, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ask those questions again, please.
I'm sorry. You had said you'd posted bond for somebody, correct? Okay. And that experience, did you have any experience with the police department or prosecuting attorney's office in any way?
No.
Okay. And do you feel that your son was treated fairly?
Yes.
Okay. And so that experience, do you still think you'd be able to be fair and impartial even with that experience that you've had with your son? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, if you could just speak up, we're trying to get it on paper. That was my fault. No, I understand. It was my fault. Yes, ma'am?
I have a voice issue as well. My ex-husband got a DUI several years ago, and I posted bond.
Okay, so it was your ex-husband. Did you have any dealings with the police or the prosecuting attorney through that? Okay. Did you think your husband or ex-husband was treated fairly?
Yes.
Okay, and what did that experience sway you either way, towards or against the state or defendant?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Posted bond for my son.
Okay.
DUI.
Okay, got it. And did you have any experiences with the prosecuting attorney's office or police department?
Yes, I had.
Long term. Did you think he was treated fairly?
Maybe.
Gotcha. Gotcha, sir.
It was a close.
Gotcha. So you might have had an issue. Did that possible issue, the close call, does that stick with you today? Does that have any bearing on how you look towards the state today or the defendant?
No.
And with that experience, you still think you'd be able to be fair and impartial?
Yes.
Thanks, man. Was there anyone else? Okay. Has anybody ever been questioned by the police? Same situation?
Not exactly.
Okay.
During application process for police department, work.
Gotcha. Okay, so it was work related.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
You got another?
Oh, sorry. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, and if you don't want to talk about it, you just let me know. But was it? how was your experience with the police at that time?
It was just fine.
Okay. Did you have any problems with the way you were treated at that time?
No.
Okay. So do you think you were treated fairly?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So how did you feel in the overall outcome? Okay, gotcha. So did you have any dealings with the prosecuting attorney's office at that time?
Not in Wood County, no.
Okay, somewhere else, though? Okay. But you said you got caught, but do you think you were treated fairly overall then? And do you think you'd still be able to be fair and impartial in this case overall? Okay, thank you. There's been a lot in the news. We're still talking about the police department, law enforcement. There's been a lot of the news, for and against law enforcement in general. Is there anybody here that has any preconceived beliefs about law enforcement, whether it be good or bad? Does everyone agree that it's our duty as citizens to follow the law, even though we might not like what the law is? Do you agree, as I stated there, even if you don't like it, you still have to follow it? And in this case, as a juror, would you still be able to uphold a law that you might not like? And I've seen, I've had jurors tell me that they couldn't sit in judgment for like religious issues or something else. Is there anybody here that feels that they couldn't sit in judgment of a defendant for a religious reason or some other reason? Has anybody here heard of any groups, and I'm going to name off a few categories of groups, and just raise your hand if you've ever heard of any of them. Have you ever heard of any groups that don't believe in the existence of government or the authority of government, or groups or individuals that have decided that they don't want to be citizens of West Virginia or the United States? Have you heard of any of these type of groups? Okay. So even if you've heard that somebody is a member of one of those groups or sees themselves as being in one of those groups, do you still feel that no matter what the beliefs of that person would be, you'd still be able to hear all the evidence and decide based on the facts and applied to the law, you still think you'd be able to be fair and impartial? What about crimes that involve speech? So a crime, as you've heard today, that accusation in this case is making terroristic threats. So that's a threat. So we have speech that's involved in that case. Is there anybody here that just does not believe that something that you say could be determined or believed to be a crime? Is anyone on the panel a veteran? Thank you, sir. Does everybody understand that this case, in this criminal case, that the state has to prove their case by a burden that's called beyond a reasonable doubt? Has everybody heard of that? And does everybody understand that standard, proof beyond a reasonable doubt, that doesn't mean proof beyond all possible doubt? Does everyone understand that? Does everybody also understand that when we're making that determination, you still want to use, logic, common sense, these type of things, and you don't want to leave them out at the door. So does everybody agree that when you're deciding, looking at the facts, and determining whether the state has proven their case beyond a reasonable doubt, that you still want to use reason, logic, and common sense? Does everybody agree with that? I'm about done, but is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think that we should know in order to make sure that we have a fair and impartial jury? Does anybody feel that there's anything else they need to let us know? Okay. Did any of you hear a question that you needed to answer that you're not comfortable answering that we could talk about later? Thank you.
Mr. Deegan?
Does anybody here have any biases against persons who exercise their rights and liberties as guaranteed by the Constitution? Does anybody here have any religious biases? Does everyone here believe in constitutional safeguards, liberties, and constraints on government? That's all I have.
Let's step into chambers for a moment.